A reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." In the same way, Jesse presented seven sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest who is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy, a youth handsome to behold, and making a splendid appearance. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Besides restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul.
The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want.
He guides me in the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them. For it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will have the light of life.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg? Some said, It is. But others said, No, he just looks like him. He said, I am. So they said to him, How were your eyes opened? He replied, The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, Go to Siloam and wash. So I went there and washed and was able to see. And they said to him, Where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, He put clay on my eyes and I washed and now I can see. So some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, How can a sinful man do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see? His parents answered and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, He is of age. Question him. So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He replied, If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see. So they said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? They ridiculed him and said, You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from. The man answered and said to them, This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, we see, so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
"I am the light of the world," says the Lord. "Whoever follows me will have the light of life." For those of us who are familiar with singing the hymn, "I once was lost and now am found, was blind, but now I see," we should have no problem identifying with the man born blind in today's gospel, who is established for us as a type of the newly baptized, as well as a type of those who were born in a condition of original sin. Hence, the imagery, the powerful imagery of light and darkness. Jesus is moving at this point with great deliberation regarding his mission, what he has to accomplish in Jerusalem. We see events are intensifying. One who associates with Jesus now is being expected to prove their loyalty, their conviction of the person of Jesus and from whence he comes. We are also being challenged today to consider how it is we see. What is our perspective relative to God's perspective? The first book of Samuel presents us with how the son of Jesse, David, the youngest of the sons, was chosen by God. Even we hear how Samuel, the prophet, has to have his own mind reoriented, his own way of seeing things reoriented, as he thinks the first one that was brought to him, Eliab, the eldest of the sons, standing strong and tall. And we are told by the word of God today, "No, that is not the one I've chosen. You are looking at appearances. Humanity looks at appearances. I look into the heart, not as man sees, does God see." So then Samuel, after seeing all these signs, he said, "What else? Is there any other?" He says, "Well, there's the other. He's out there in the field." He says, "Well, bring him. We cannot begin until this one is brought to us." We even see how Jesse doesn't think much of his son. And what an encouragement this is to the young people of our community who are oftentimes disregarded because of their youth. And yet we are being shown God does not show partiality. God is looking amongst the human family, particularly for those who are, quote unquote, seemingly insignificant, of no use, have no value to them. These are the ones that the Lord chooses to manifest, as we hear in the gospel, his glory, his life, his workings. And we gain insight about the reality of sin in the world. Here we have the question, for whose sins is this man being punished, for his own or his parents? Jesus says, for neither. For such God allows so that his grace might be made known, his workings, his glory. We also can see a similarity in this with the person of Job in the Old Testament. Job, from what we were presented in the writing, he had done nothing that would warrant the sufferings that he was suffering. And so it is. He is a type of the Christ who was innocent from all points of view. And yet we see how God allows testings, allows trials to prove, to bring out his glory, to show to the world the ways of God relative to the ways of a world gone wrong in sin. So all of this is before us. And as we see the movement, he is the one sent by God, Jesus. And as he engages this man born blind, what does he do? He does something in a most ordinary way, albeit an unusual, taking saliva, mixing it with the dust of the earth, forming clay, rubbing it into this man's eyes. This is akin to what the shepherds would do with their sheep when they were watching the flocks. They would take oil and rub it on the faces of the lambs, so that the sheep, so that they would not be bothered too much by the flies, the mosquitoes, the gnats, all those things that would be bothersome to them. It served as a balm, as a protection. So we can begin to see how this movement of how Jesus brings healing to this man is in itself a foreshadowing. It confirms the sacrament of baptism. So many right now are preparing to be born again, to be recreated, renewed in the waters of life. We heard the beautiful conversation Jesus had with the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. If you knew who it was who was speaking to you, you would ask him for a drink, and he would give you a drink which would realize a spring of water welling up within you, which would have no end. The gift of God is being realized here. And we notice how this gift of God is communicated. Once Samuel anoints David, the youngest of the sons, the Spirit rushes upon David and remains with David. This is unique because up until this time, when the Spirit of God came upon one who was chosen as a prophet to speak and do God's work, it would only remain with them for a time and then it would depart. But in this case, we see David as being established as truly the one that Jesus will fulfill everything God promises to him and his lineage. It remains with David. So Jesus now realizing his mission and his work, this salve that he creates with his saliva, it is based on the Dead Sea Scrolls found by Qumran. They say that the early ancients, when they looked at the writings of the book of Genesis, it was believed that God actually like used spittle, so to speak, and to make the clay to form the first man and the first woman as he breathed life into them. So we can see here, this is in itself a sign to us, a revelation to us as to how it looks and how it goes when one is chosen by God. He goes, he's told to go to the pool of Siloam, which means sent. He washes in obedience to the word of Jesus. His eyes are opened. Imagine being born blind and seeing light for the first time, seeing anything of the created world for the first time. And with that, he becomes a center of controversy, of great scrutiny and attention. First, the neighbors. Isn't that the one who was born blind? Isn't that him? No, he just looks like him. And then he himself says, I am. The only other time in the Gospel of John that someone uses the phrase, I am, ego emi, the divine designation, I am. And so he's asked about how it happens. And what does he do? He speaks from his experience. He has nothing else to go on other than what has happened, and he recounts what happens. Well, they are somewhat incredulous. They bring him to the Pharisees, those who are invested, unfortunately, those who are invested in keeping people in a state of blindness, so to speak, blindness in terms of not allowing them to see the full picture of how God is operating. So they begin to scrutinize the man, questioning him. How did this happen? He, again, consistent, tells what happens. Well, they say, well, this man cannot be from God. He's done this on the Sabbath. So they hold their position of being such practitioners of the letter of the law. They have no idea as to the true spirit of the law, which is love. Or say it this way, maybe they have an idea of it, but they're not interested in it because in their minds, they would lose their position, they would lose their influence over the people and so forth. But so we have it. Then they bring this interrogation, but they want to find out, was he truly blind? They call in the parents. The parents are very standoffish. He's our son. He was born blind. As to how all of this came about, we have no idea. Ask him. He is of age. And so he does. They do. And he, again, recounts it. It goes the way it goes. They throw him out. So he is ostracized by his neighbors, rejected by his parents, and ultimately thrown out by the Pharisees. And once that happens, Jesus goes and finds him and begins to question him. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he that I might believe? The one who is speaking with you now. I am he. And he worships. What a beautiful word for us today. A word that shows us, first of all, how it is that those who are going to be realized in these waters in a couple of weeks, they will be born again of water and spirit. They will become the children of light, as Jesus is the light that has come into the world. But also to remind us who have experienced the regenerating experience of being born again of water and spirit, it is for us a reminder that coming to full faith in Jesus is a process. It's a lifelong endeavor. We continue to walk by faith, not by sight, at least not the sight that only sees appearances of the world as it is, but a sight that deepens our understanding and awareness of the mysterious ways of God, to which there are no boundaries. God is showing us in this way that everyone is being invited. The humility of this man born blind is so amazing to see as he stands fast. He doesn't waver. And this also is a reminder to us when we have our eyes open and make the conviction, we make the commitment to live as that child of light, we are going to meet with resistance. You know as well as I, there are many in this world who are firmly invested in keeping people in the dark. But when we begin to realize the truth and we live accordingly, things begin to happen. Real things begin to happen. That's when we begin to truly live in the light. We then become agents, those like this man born blind. We become those who are sent. He came among us that we may have life and have it to the full. He came among us, as the gospel says, those who present themselves as knowing everything, seeing everything, they will be rendered blind. And those who are considered to be just throwaways or insignificant, they will be enlightened, and they will be the means by which my Father and this kingdom will be glorified and realized in time and in space. This is a good time for us to consider where we are in the Lenten journey. Maybe it hasn't been the best for us. We've been floundering. This is a wonderful time to experience the rush of the Spirit, which always comes upon us when we gather at the Eucharist as we do. The Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, comes upon us to renew us, to regenerate us, to strengthen us in our resolve, to recommit, to walk as that child of light. Do not be afraid. This is a word for all of us. How have we been perceiving things? Are we simply looking at things on the surface? Now is the time to begin to look deep. Look into the heart. We don't even realize what we ourselves, when we look at ourselves, we don't even see our full potential. It usually takes someone from the outside looking in. God mediating his grace through another to confirm us. However it goes, We are being invited to bring whatever it is we feel challenged by, whatever insecurity we have, place them before the Lord. Let him anoint that reality. He takes his humanity, the fullness of his humanity, he uses the elements of this earth coupled with his divinity to bring us out of the dark into the light. Awake, O sleeper, arise from your sleep. God love you.